One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
One, two, three, can you hear over here? How about a video?
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
Chortel isn't here. Call the Galata, Ziegler, and Gelman present. Purpose of today's meeting is to take testimony on Senate Bill 44, Act relating to cost of attorney services provided to indigents charged with violations of municipal ordinances. And we had held this meeting today specifically to accommodate the public defender's office. They have overflown. They are now in Sitka. And I believe there is a person from the public defender's office. Do I have a list of people who want to testify? Would you come up and identify yourself?
Thank you, sir. My name is Tom Dave. I'm the supervising attorney for the local office. Brian asked me to address you just for a moment and place his sincere apologies and regrets that he's now sitting in the airport terminal in Sitka, along with Dana Fabe, who is the acting director at this point in time. Both are prepared with a lot of material to present to you today and are making whatever desperate attempts they can to get here. Unfortunately, I'm ill-prepared given the fact that I just read the bill a few minutes ago and talked to Brian a few minutes ago, but I can offer you a little information, but perhaps the greatest service I can perform for you is to answer whatever questions you might have absent, given Brian's absence.
I have a question that deals with the magnitude of, there's nothing in the backup material that we have, nor in the governor's letter that would indicate just what end result of this would be. Do you have any anything to shed light on it?
With respect to the municipality's caseload and the entire agency, first of all, with respect to Juneau, this bill wouldn't probably make that much difference. My office has represented perhaps 21 indigent defendants that arose out of city prosecutions for this entire fiscal year. So it wouldn't impact Juneau particularly, and that's true of most municipalities, I believe, with the exception of Anchorage, wherein there are 5 full-time attorneys in the Anchorage Public Defender's Office who do nothing but defend municipality cases. I think the notable reason for that is the fact that most envoys, I understand, are prosecuted by the city. Consequently, their caseload individually among the 5 of them amounts to approximately 500 cases at any one time on the average, which is a huge caseload for anyone, but for the fact there are city misdemeanors and there's a lot of repetitiveness in the course of representation there. In any case, Mr. Chortel usually, I expect, would start from the premise that the public defender's office is understaffed if you use the ABA standards, but I would leave that for him to argue to you or another committee at another time. Rather than the state just budgeting or allocating a certain amount of funds in order for us to perform our services, the argument I would expect from the cities would be that they've got their appropriation, they know what their caseload is, it's based on caseload, therefore why tap the cities for any additional money? the fact of the matter being that there is not sufficient amount of money there, given the amount of staff time and caseload per attorney to cover what is a growing problem with municipality cases. That problem is not growing in every city. It certainly is growing in Anchorage. So I guess to answer your question, in short, there are 5 full-time attorneys, and that's the degree of impact the Anchorage municipalities cases have on the agency.
Maybe somebody could answer for me what 5 full-time attorneys equates to in dollars and cents. And yes. Pardon? Per individual, or
for all the attorneys, that would be the minimum for 5 full-time guys.
That would not include anything like their support activities and.
Well, no, you're just talking about legal fees or salaries, if you will.
They're probably attorney 3s on the average, and in Anchorage, I expect would make about $3,400 a month. And 5 attorneys would require at least 2 full-time staff secretaries and a certain amount of investigation.
Right. Senator Ziegler.
You know, you always tend to equate this type of legislation with your own hometown. Mm-hmm. And Ketchikan is mine, and I can just imagine that this thing at no expense to the state, absolute zilch cost, though. If this came into effect, became effective in my town, it would be great then for the municipal miscreants, because there would be a market decrease in the number of prosecutions brought.
Perhaps.
Oh, sure. I know damn well. I know how my community works.
The other thing that Senator Ziegler, that Ketchikan has not as a problem, not as much as Juneau, and certainly not as much as Anchorage, is very often, I expect, anybody that views a public defender agency would consider us the people who get them off. That seems like the majority of municipal cases that we get involve disorderly conducts, involve drinking, open containers, trespassing in bars, and in fact the service that we perform in that type of cases is much more of a social worker, find a place, find a course of treatment, find some way to address the cause of the problem, as opposed to going to court and having a trial, which happens rarely. Were there additional funding to address that type of work, which is so time-consuming, and in fact more time-consuming than the regular course of a criminal representation, the cities may indeed benefit from the extra expense, perhaps way over what they would benefit from by not having that expense, if that makes sense. Having 2 or 3 additional, if not more, public defenders, thereby buying more time, thereby increasing the ability to do more of the social work type of addressing the problem, finding a solution otherwise than to just take on the judge and the DA over this particular circumstance, may in the end save the cities a great deal of money, but I wouldn't propose to state that as an answer, but rather as a possibility.
Senator Strzelczewski, you had a question?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps this isn't appropriate to address you, Mr. May, but at the present time, apparently the state's public defender role to indigents, as well as you pick up the municipalities. I see a fiscal note of 0. It seems like there should be a negative fiscal note, that the state should be, in fact, have increased revenue instead of it being a cost. And I just wondered about that. Shouldn't that be an easy thing to determine what we're talking about here in cost?
In the brief phone call that was more full of panic than information from Mr. Shortell a few minutes ago, Senator Strzelczewski, he mentioned that something about fiscal notes, the fact that he was prepared to deal with a question on the fiscal notes or had fiscal notes or something.
Is the public defender's office totally to service the indigents? When you talk about 5 people, is that all they do?
That's all those 5 people do. We do representation of juveniles. We do sanity cases. We do criminal defense work for both misdemeanors, city things, and primarily felonies in some offices, as it turns out. But in each and every case, the judge has to determine that these people are unable to buy on the open market the services of an attorney, given undue hardship that would cause to them. The only exception to that perhaps would be in juvenile cases where parents in fact have money, but the children don't, or were named as guardian ad litem in cases that, custody cases where both sides are fighting over the children, we would represent the children, and that degree of indigency isn't determined as closely as it would otherwise be.
So really what you're saying to us is that there's no way to determine what the full effects of this would be. It could be it certainly is going to be different from one community to next.
Certainly it would. It's going to impact Anchorage and Fairbanks more so than it would any other place. Fairbanks also has a much higher degree of municipal cases than Juneau, Ketchikan, Kenai, Kodiak, or anywhere else as well. There's a heavier and steady prosecution. In fact, there's three full-time attorneys on the city attorney staff. That's, I think, primarily all they do is prosecute criminal cases. Hopefully what it would allow us is the funding to hire additional attorneys to address the ever-growing caseload that arises in the context of city prosecution. But I've already overreached the limit of my expertise as far as the impact of the bill, and find myself missing Mr. Shortell more and more every minute. But anything I can answer, I'd be glad to.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else signed up to testify?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Judy Cromwell, Director of Administrative Services and Legislative Liaison for the Department of Administration.
Would you come up, please, and identify yourself?
I just wanted to say that while my depth of understanding of this legislation may not be any deeper than Mr. Nave's, I at least have been aware of it for a longer period of time, and would be happy to answer any questions you might have. In terms of the fiscal note that we prepared on it, I would say that I would guess it would be hard to determine at this point whether or not municipal charges would remain the same or whether they would decrease if this legislation were passed, and if they would decrease, to what extent they would decrease. Obviously, they would not go away altogether, but the effects on the public defender's budget and potential receipts would be dependent on whether or not municipal charges did decrease, and if so, to what extent.
Excuse me. Are you saying that if this bill went into effect, that you have some feeling that municipal charges, meaning arrests?
Well, as Senator Ziegler said, it's obviously going to have an impact on his community, and you may have fewer arrests, particularly of the drunk in public or loitering. I don't even know if we have the loitering ones anymore. But we might have fewer arrests of that type if the municipalities were themselves charged for the defense of the accused. As I said, it's hard to say to what extent these would decrease if they did, and obviously that would have an impact on the revenues that would come into the public defender's office to pay for the defense. And that's why it was pretty difficult to come up with a fiscal note of anything other than zero. Obviously, it's not going to increase the cost of the public defender. The only thing it would do is fund some of the program from receipts from the municipalities. But it's hard to say, you know, to what extent they would be funded.
Question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else signed up to testify? None at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
On the questions that we might get answered, I'd like to know there's a lot of areas now that already will
use this, and perhaps Senator Ziegler could respond on this or could get the information from public defender, that are being arrested on or use the state charges simply because the state pays for cost of confinement and processing and the whole thing. There's, it seems to me in a way there's much ado about nothing here. Are we just causing a shift in who's actually going to do the arresting and the prosecuting? Is that a reasonable question, Senator Ziegler, or doesn't it work
that way? Well, sure, but you've got city attorney for municipal attorney general, Mr. Sharp. Maybe he would disagree with me, but usually, at least at home, the DA and the local police have current jurisdiction. If they get a DWI, where the city police might call in the district attorney and prevail upon him to file state charges. It's not distinguished from filing charges under a municipal ordinance, and I assume that happens here from time to time. Well, is that not correct?
Yes, there's an agreement as to which type of charges the city will bring as municipal charges and which ones will bring as a state charge. Where the violation is a violation of both the ordinance and the statute, if we bring it as a state charge under the state statute, then the district attorney prosecutes. If we bring it under the ordinance, we prosecute.
Right.
So that may, the passage of this bill might very well affect those sorts of decisions.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Why did the governor put this bill in? I mean, his cover letter doesn't say a damn thing except here it is, but he doesn't say why.
And the thought has passed my mind, you know, that the revenue sharing back to the communities, it's God giveth and God taketh away, you know, when the right hand giveth and the left hand taketh back, and it doesn't seem to make too much sense at this point to be in a position where we're saying to communities, now here's, I think the governor called for 6 or 8 times the funding in revenue sharing municipal assistance that he had the year before, and then turn around and have the municipality.
You may be saying that, Mr. Chairman, to the communities involved, but I am not.
I've not followed your question, your statement, Senator.
What I'm saying is, you're not passing this thing around for a vote today, are you?
Oh, no. Heavens, no. No, it was not intended to do that. Any further questions? Yes.
In response to the question as to why the governor introduced the bill, I could just read a short sentence to you from a memo from Brian Shortell to Commissioner Hudson. Some years ago, I suggested that House Bill number 375, and I believe that was the number of this bill in a previous session, be introduced because it seemed to me that the municipalities should be required to pay for their own defense services rather than passing these costs on to the state. Last year, as you can see from the copy of the bill which I have attached to this memo, the governor's office agreed to pursue passage of this legislation vigorously. Unfortunately, the Judiciary Committee did not take action on the bill last year. I believe it was maybe even in concert with the governor's policy to have those people who receive services pay for them, in this case, municipalities.
It would be very helpful if we had that kind of information provided to us when the time we start looking at these bills. I would suggest, if you would, leave a copy of that with us so we can at least incorporate it in the file.
That would be helpful.
Yes. Any other questions? Not adjourned.